Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning house call. Dr. Jeffrey Boomer is emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, doctor. Let's talk first about this first study of its kind about how alcohol plus an airplane's cabin pressure can affect your heart. Is this another reason to not drink?
Yeah, maybe, you know, don't drink and fly, I think is really the take-home message here. I think it's what they're seeing is that, you know, you're going up at your cruising altitude, the partial pressure in our oxygen, or the partial pressure of oxygen in our blood is lower. So we're already stressing our cardiovascular systems, and our body's doing that a little bit. And then you add a toxin, that being alcohol here, it puts an extra burden on your cardiovascular system, they're seeing. And so it really, even in healthy people, it puts a stress on the heart and the blood system. And I think that's what we're seeing. And I think the other effect that they're really talking about here in this study was its effect on sleep, particularly disrupting the important REM sleep, and then which obviously helps us recover from stressful events. So that's disrupted. So not only you putting that stress on your body by drinking alcohol while particularly on a longer flight, but you're also disrupting your ability to recover from that by disrupting your sleep and the deep sleep and the REM sleep that you would normally achieve.
Something to remember when you're on vacation this summer, especially if you're going to Europe.
Yeah, I've known people to do this frequently, where, you know, they have that glass of wine with dinner to try to help them fall asleep, mm-hmm. and usually unsuccessful. And it's probably unsuccessful because it does disrupt sleep, and so it doesn't have the effect that people want it to. And you know, you're just adding extra stress to your body. And that we all, you know, anyone that's been overseas or been on those long flights where your time change is, you know, 5 or more hours, you're already feeling stress, and mm-hmm. this is just adding more stress to that, and the it really inhibits your ability to recover. Mm-hmm. Particularly the older we get, you know, we know that it's more difficult for us to rebound from stressful events on our bodies, and this is just making that even more difficult.
Talking about heart health, recently the director of the Advanced Heart Failure Program at Baptist Hospital in Memphis wrote about supplements and your heart. So this is from a cardiologist, so another reason to take supplements, although oftentimes you hear there's never been any proof that they help. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that last statement. I think that, you know, I think that everything needs to be done with some intention, with some direction, right? So I think that this is Dr. Yaronov, and he's a transplant cardiologist. So he certainly knows something about diseased hearts and why hearts go bad. And so I think I trust what he has to say. And I do agree that the three supplements that he talks about, these are omega-3 fatty acids, magnesium glycinate, and then vitamin D. We've heard about them over and over again, and they all are important pieces to the puzzle to promote good cardiovascular health. And I agree with him. But I think when you're talking about anything, and when you're talking about supplements, it's important to understand what you're supplementing and do you need that supplement, right? So I think it's important that these are guided by a physician, guided by blood work. You know, do you need, are your vitamin D levels, you know, are they at the low end of the normal range, or are they low, and do you need to take that supplement? So I think that we all know that these are certainly can promote cardiovascular health. Omega-3 fatty acids have been shown to help reduce heart disease, help reduce clot formation. Magnesium, especially the magnesium glycinate, has been shown to be a good promoter of good sleep. And so I think that helps support heart health. It also has been shown to be a good for the electrical part of the heart and stabilizing, keeping that stable. And then vitamin D also helps prevent the development of coronary artery disease. So those things are important. I think we just need to make sure we're doing that with some direction, and make sure we're having our levels checked, and make sure we're doing it without going in excess.
Yeah, you still agree that as far as vitamin D and also these other things in supplements, it's only second best to take the pills. Food is the way to go. Number one.
I, I always agree with that. I think, you know, I personally will take magnesium glycinate at times, but omega-3 fatty acids, I'm a big chia seed guy. So I'll put chia seeds on my yogurt, my cottage cheese, my toast. It's a great way to get the omega-3 fatty acids without having to take that extra pill. I always believe it's better to get it from food if you can, but it's sometimes difficult, particularly if you're on a diet, if you're intermittently fasting, which is a common thing people are doing these days. It's sometimes difficult to get those important important nutrients in, and so that's where supplements can really come in and help you, I believe. So I think it's just, again, it's all about making sure that you're doing it with some direction, understanding what you're trying to supplement and where you may have a deficit in your diet.
Recently, a professor at Duke who is a preventive cardiologist wrote about these alternate protein meals, ultra-processed, he calls them. And recently, the demand has kind of slowed down. Now, is this because many doctors and dietitians are saying there's too much salt in these burgers that have no meat in it and so forth?
Yeah, I think when they came out, they were obviously touted as, hey, they're going to save the world, and they're sustainable, and they're also a healthy alternative. They're made from plants, so they got to be good. But you know, we came to find out that they actually very heavy in salt, and then they're also, you know, they're ultra processed. They have a lot of saturated fat in them. So this when they first came out, and so the idea that they were the healthy alternative that they were touted to be was really not the truth. So I think now some of these companies, such as like Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods, those are the ones that we've heard a lot about, have looked at their formulas and redone them to make them a little bit more, you know, a little bit, that's definitely more, you know, more healthy. So I think we need to start revisiting these sort of ultra processed foods and maybe thinking about, you know, maybe rethinking how we think about ultra processed foods, and at least in the sense of these plant-based foods, because, you know, they clearly are much more sustainable. I mean, they're, you know, in terms of how much gas they emit. I think it's like 98% is what they talked about in this article. 98% fewer less gas than that compared to beef production. Certainly a lot less land use. So, you know, when we're looking at carbon emissions and land use and, you know, the environment, it's certainly much more sustainable. And I think, you know, now that they're reformulating these foods, they actually do have higher fiber. So they are plant-based, so there is that piece of it. So maybe we would need to think about these being a better option than they were when they first hit the market 2 years back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you may be, I don't know if you agree, but sometimes I think if the choice is to have an Impossible Burger and a Diet Coke, you might be better with a real hamburger and the real Coke.
I've pivoted in my decision sometimes when I go out, that's for sure, Bob. But I've gone back and forth for sure.
Also on social media, a very popular post recently was about the best time, the worst time of a day to eat, according to cardiologists. And, I kind of skimmed through this. And isn't this what we've always heard, you know, don't eat late?
Yeah, there's nothing new here. I think this just sort of points out why it's so bad. I think really it's all about, it always goes back to being about balance and, you know, being consistent with a healthy diet and the appropriate timing of when we eat really promotes better sleep and enhances our heart health and enhances our healthy metabolism. But, you know, certainly being an ER doctor for many years and working shift work, it's, you know, you go through a, you know, 9-10 hour shift and you haven't eaten, you haven't gone to the bathroom, let alone had a meal, and you come home super hungry. It's tempting to eat a full meal, and this is the worst thing you can do, especially if you're not going to be up for 3 or more hours after you do so, just because it's, you know, you're not giving your body a chance to work off that glucose. Your glucose levels go high. Your body wants to fast at that point, and you're not giving it that opportunity to do that. You're going to sleep. Of course, your glucose levels go high, and it really It leads to weight gain. It leads to disrupted sleep. It leads to, which of course down the road leads to obesity, high cholesterol, heart disease, you know, metabolic syndrome, all those things. So it's certainly not a habit you should get into for many reasons.
Are you a fan of the intermittent fasting? A lot of people are doing that now.
I am. I it's hard, you know, with an ER doctor's schedule, it's hard to sort of get that time down, but I try, and I think it's it really keeps you focused on, you know, what avoids this situation for sure, where if you eat that meal, that last meal earlier in the day, you know, especially if you get, you know, some good fiber and protein in there, it really keeps you satiated, keeps you from wanting to have that food later on in the day. But I think it really keeps you sort of narrowed down in when you're going to be eating, so you're not getting those huge bumps in glucose levels, and I think it makes a big difference. So yeah, I am a fan. I think it's a good option for a lot of people.
You've inspired me to go have a chia seed omelet today, Doctor.
There you go. Great, Bob.
Dr. Jeffrey Bomer, emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Always like talking to you. Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks for having me, Bob.